Would you turn with me, please, to the chapter we read in God's Word? A dear chapter 8, and as the Lord would enable us, that we might consider together verse 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Perhaps it should be from verse 12. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom the people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Especially with these words. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, and for a gin, and for a snare, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Throughout Scripture, we often find God's servants being viewed as troublemakers, that their message was unpopular, and therefore, rather than listening to the message, it was rejected, and the prophets were miscalled. The children remember Elijah, and how Ahab came up to Elijah and said to him, "Art thou he that troubles Israel? You're the great troublemaker. It's all your fault there is this drought that is happening now." And of course, the truth was that it was King Ahab who was the troubler, because he had encouraged false religion and was leading the people astray. And you get the same sort of thing with Isaiah here. He is being viewed as a treasonable conspirator. That would appear to be the meaning of the word confederacy that we have in verse 12. You see, the southern kingdom of Judah was under threat from the northern neighbors, Israel, who had joined up with the Syrians and who were coming against them, because they wouldn't join in alliances against the great superpower of the day, against the Assyrians. And King Ahaz, the king of Judah, has just planned. He is going to seek assistance from the Assyrians. And if he gives them some money, they'll come, they'll protect him, they'll deal with Israel, they'll deal with the Assyrians, and they shall be saved. In chapter 7, Isaiah is sent by God to warn King Ahaz that he should trust in the Lord. That if he trusts in the Lord and not in the great superpower of the day, the Assyrians, that he will know God's blessing. And indeed, God will even give him a sign that to encourage his faith. And there's a wonderful prophecy about the coming Savior, looking forward to the one who would give true deliverance for sin. The king has it, saying, "Oh, I don't need to trouble the Lord, I don't need a sign. I'm quite content with my plans." So, another child is mentioned, not Emmanuel, but Mahershala Hashbaz, one who will be swift to the spoil. And a warning is, before this child really knows much at all, right and wrong, before he can cry, "My father, my mother," then, yes, Damascus, the Syrians and Samaria, the Israel, should be taken away before the king of Assyria. Their enemies will be overthrown. Do you know what's going to happen? Assyria, based on Nineveh, on a great river, is going to rise up like a great river and flood the whole haven of Judah. They're not going to know blessing. They're not going to know relief, because they have failed to trust God. And here are the people at court of Ahaz, the people in Jerusalem are saying, see that Isaiah? He's a troublemaker. Don't listen to him. He's in league with the Assyrians, with the enemies of our people. He's giving us bad news. He's putting us off trusting in the people we should be trusting in. He's giving us bad news. He's just a treasonable troublemaker. Don't listen to him when he's saying, trust God, don't trust the Assyrians. God saying to Isaiah, look, they are calling you a treasonable conspirator. He's conspiring against your people. Stick to your guns. Don't be afraid. Be faithful in declaring the truth. Neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Don't say yes, it would be treason to say such things. He's saying, don't think in a worldly way. Don't walk in the way of this people. Receive that word from God. Embrace it. Fear God, and you shall be secure. Our friends, Ahaz was called a troublemaker. Isaiah was called a troublemaker. And if you're faithful to the Lord, and if you stand up for the truth in your home, in your village, in your workplace, wherever, you'll find people call you troublemakers. Only through the week there, someone came to us and said, you're the people who are spoiling our week, handing out these silly cracks. You're the troublemakers. Our friends, let us not listen to those who would dissuade us from bearing witness to the truth. Let us fear God and declare the truth. And here's this wonderful message that the Lord had for both Isaiah and for the people of Judah. Look, fear God. Sanctify the Lord God of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary to you. You shall have no peace. You shall know God's blessing as you trust him. Wasn't that a message for Isaiah? Don't fear man. Fear God. You'll know his peace and blessing. He will be a sanctuary to you. Wasn't that a message for Judah and Ahaz's day? Don't fear man, your enemies. Fear God. He will be a sanctuary. He will protect you. You and I are always plagued by fears and troubles. We're liable to fear man or fear the problems in life. Then you hear, and you're plagued with many anxieties today. What should you do? Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. Let's then notice two things in our text. We have first of all a call to sanctify the Lord. And then secondly, a promise of sanctuary from the Lord. First of all, we've got a call to sanctify the Lord. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. What is it you and I are to do? Whatever our situation, spiritually today, what are we to do? We are to sanctify the Lord. What does it mean? When we think of sanctifying something, we think of setting it apart, or viewing it as holy. Think of the temple. The temple was a sanctified place. It was set apart. It was treated as holy.
Think of this book through the paper that's before you in the book board. We call it the Holy Bible. It is set apart. It's holy because it's not any old book. It's the Word of God. And so it's been set apart. It's regarded as holy. And usually, when we think of things being sanctified, we think of, especially in the Old Testament, we think of things being sanctified, but here is God Himself. And what God here is saying is, look, treat me as holy. What does that mean? Well, surely what we're being told here is this. Acknowledge Him as the Lord. Acknowledge Him as the Lord. You see, here is Ahaz. And yes, he's king of God's people. No doubt he kind of pays lip service to the Lord. But at the end of the day, he has no real conviction about who God is. He had no real concern for him. He had lost sight of him, and especially as the enemy is coming, as there is this threat of Israel and the Syrians attacking, he is consumed by fear of the enemy. We are no match for them. We are going to be destroyed. And you see, his feelings are focused on all the problems that are confronting his kingdom, and he has lost sight of who God is and what he is able to do, and he is thinking of how he will solve his problems, where he can get help from. He has lost sight of God. Friends, can't all of us fall into that trap? How many today have low views of God? And because they have low views of God, they have low views of sin, they see no need of salvation, they may acknowledge Him in certain ways, they may pray at times, but they ignore His word, they ignore His commandments, they don't take Him seriously. Well, we may not have low views of God. God forbid that we would. But we can lose sight of Him, can't we? We can lose sight of Him. And in that sense, we can in practice end up having lower views of God than we should have. And as you look out in our lives, and things concern you, your health, your family, your job, there you are, you make plans. And of course, there's a sense in which we need to think about our situations. We need to make plans. We need to take care of ourselves. We're worried about our health. There's no point abusing our body and exposing it to cold and rain and so on unnecessarily. We're worried about our health. But you see, it's so easy for us just to see our problems and forget who God is. Forget the greatness and the glory of God. And therefore in practice, we can view Him as insignificant. It's not that we would ever think that. If we were thinking about who God is, but the problem is, we've lost sight. Who He is. So, sanctifying the Lord, does it all begin with that acknowledgement of who He is? And here's Ahaz. Here's you, dear friend, and what are you being told? Ever remember, ever recognize who He is. And therefore, let that affect you the way you respond in all the varied circumstances of life. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself.
Ahaz, Israel, Isaiah, remember, he's the Lord of hosts. Keep that ever in view. He's the sovereign Lord. The Lord of hosts, to speak to his sovereign power, of the fact that he is the one who rules over the hosts of the heavens and the earth, and the hosts of the stars. He's God over them. The hosts of angels, he rules them and they do his bidding. The hosts of demons, they're under his control. They can do nothing but by his permission. The armies of the nations, they're in his control and under his hand. He raises up kings, he brings them down. He allows nations to invade. And they might swamp a country like a river, as we have in chapter 8. Soon that nation itself might be overthrown, like the Babylonians were a few hundred years later. Friends, let us ever remember, God reigns. Sanctify the Lord of hosts. Let us ever remember, he is God. He is the sovereign. He is the one who is outworking all things after the counsel of his will. The God of providence, who reigns over all things, in the armies of heaven, and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. You see, there are people causing you grief. Here were nations causing threat, giving grief to Judah. Why are you fearing them, he said? Fear God. Sanctify God. Remember, he's the Lord of hosts. He's Jehovah of hosts. He's the God who has pledged to be for his people, the God of the covenant. The God who has said, I am thy God. What do you need to acknowledge? He's the Lord of hosts. And the one who has said, well, the God before you, who can be against you? The ever faithful God. The God of the covenant, the God of grace, the God who has provided a redeemer in Christ, the one who is merciful to hell-deserving sinners, to provide a true remedy for sin and a complete remedy to bring his people from a state of sin into a state of salvation and ultimately into a state of glory in heaven. Remember who yes. So we sanctify the Lord as we acknowledge him. We remember who he is. But then, friends, doesn't it also include fearing him? You see, isn't it so easy to forget him? To fear man. Or we fear the circumstances we find ourselves in. And there's Ahaz, and what's he doing? He sees the problems. That's what he sees. He tries and sorts them out. He's going to make a mess of it today, as not having that regard for the Lord that he should. No doubt when Isaiah is told, you're a treasonable conspirator. We can picture the pressure he's under. Why don't you just say what the others are saying? Why don't you encourage this wise plan, which looks as if it will work so well? Get the great superpower. They'll chase away these troublemakers. Buy into this protection racket that the Assyrians run. You'll be secure then. Don't give way to worldly thinking. Don't be pragmatic. Fear God. Isn't that what we're to do?
It's as we are that reverence for Him.
It's as we ever come before Him, remembering who He is, with that appropriate response of reverence, that He is the Lord, and as we trust Him there. Because we recognize who He is, that He is the Lord of hosts, that He is the God of all grace, that the calling that we have is to serve Him.
Friend, aren't we to fear Him alone? Whenever you're put under pressure to compromise, remember this. Fear not Him who can kill the body, but fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You see, we sanctify.
We will say, well, He is God. I fear Him. I'm given Him His place. He is rightly to be feared. You may threaten me, but I fear God more. His wrath, not your wrath, is what's to be feared. His blessing is what matters.
And therefore, as we acknowledge Him with that response of that loving, trusting, reverence for Him, where we remember that He alone is the one who is to be feared. Let Him be our fear. Let Him be our faith. Friends, let us sanctify Him continually.
Well, that will therefore mean trusting Him completely. Because Ahaz, he's distrusting God. You come to the Assyrians, they'll help me. Yes, no doubt he's encouraging false religion, superstition. They'll end up running to familiar spirits and wizards of pain. They'll run to dead idols rather than the living God. Ah, how easy it is to distrust Him. What an affront it is to God to give way to our fears. Yes, the fears may be real in one way. There are problems. Problems here. The enemy was threatening. Something had to be done. It was no use doing nothing. You get health problems. Something has to be done. There's problems in the family. There's problems in the work. Problems in school. Something has to be done. You've got anxieties about all sorts of things. But you begin by fearing God, by trusting God, by giving Him His place, by committing your way to Him. By acknowledging Him in all your ways, you don't give way to the fears and try and sort it out yourself. You look to the Lord for His blessing. And so you see, when we truly fear Him, what do? As we sanctify Him, as we fear Him, well, we embrace His promises. Has He promised to help? Has He promised to uphold? Has He promised to strengthen? Well, are we upholding His reliable word? The law and the testimony where there is light. I have a holy confidence in what He has said. Remember the writer of the Hebrews? You know, these Jewish Christians persecuted for their faith. Family disowning them, finding it hard to trade, perhaps some threatened with death. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I won't fear man. There might be problems. But there's God, He's in control. There's God, I'm serving Him.
I don't know what the future may hold. I don't know what problems there may be. I may lose my life. I may be miscalled. I may lose my job because I want to be honest and faithful to the Lord. But I fear God more than man. Giving him his place. You see, friends, we never go wrong when we give him his place. And so to sanctify means to acknowledge him, to fear him, to have that right response of fear and of trust, which leads to our fearing him. What's happened with Israel and Judah here? They're both in rebellion, the Lord's people. Both parts are in rebellion. They're both being chastened. The trouble is, they've got low views of God. But here's Isaiah. You sanctify the Lord. You obey the Lord. Don't walk in the ways of this people. Tell them to walk in the ways of the Lord. You see, when we sanctify the Lord, at the end of the day we're saying, it is right to obey God rather than men. If they're calling me to sin, if they're calling me to compromise, he is holy. And I will honor him who is holy. By doing his will, I will please him. I want to please him. I love him. The world thinks of the fear of God as a slavish fear. But friend, did you know the Lord? Did you know what he's done for you in Christ in the giving of his Son to be your Savior? Why do you want to obey him? It's not to try and win his faith. It's because he has been favorable to you when you deserve nothing but judgment and condemnation. You love him because he is right. And you love him because he is gracious. And therefore you're saying, I want to obey him. I want to do what's right. I want to please him. I want to obey him. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your food. Let him be your dread. Let us daily set him apart and have that right view of God. What's God's promise? To do that, and he shall be for a sanctuary. What a wonderful promise. Yes, there's a great warning if you fail. We'll notice that in a minute. But here's a secondly, a promise of sanctuary from the Lord. Do you fear God? Is he the one who you wish to please and obey? Who you set before yourself as the Lord of hosts? Well, he shall be for a present sanctuary. He shall be for a sanctuary. The word sanctuary, we tend to use it of the temple. That's an outset in Scripture. The sanctuary being the holy place. Sometimes we talk of church buildings where we worship as a sanctuary. That's not really the proper name. It's not a building. Anywhere we do, it's not a sanctuary as such. That belongs to the temple where God promised to be present amidst his people. It was a holy place set apart for the worship of God, where God would be. Yeah, but the temple was a sanctuary. But it also
came to be known as a place of refuge. Exodus 21, we read of the fact that a man might presumptuously come upon his neighbor, he might deliberately murder him. Well, such a person was to be taken from mine altar that he may die. What's happened? He's fled to the temple. He's laid a hold of the horns of the altar. And he's looking for relief, for God's shelter there. And God's saying, well, if you deliberately murdered someone, there is no sanctuary for him. Justice must fall. Remember Adonijah, in the days of King Solomon, he laid a hold of the horns of the altar. What was to happen to him? This man who had threatened rebellion. Solomon says, well, if he will be right-hearted, if he will be a faithful man, he'll live. If there's wickedness in his heart, he shall die. So the word sanctuary and the temple could become a place of safety, a place of refuge. What's God saying? Honor me, and I will be a sanctuary for you. I will be a refuge for you. Flee to me. My name is a high pillar. The righteous run into it and are saved. God is our refuge and our strength. There was God present, promising to help. God in the midst of her doth dwell, nothing shall her remove. The Lord to her an helper will in that right early prove. Why would Jerusalem like that? The temple was there, the Ark of the Covenant was there, the symbol of his presence. For the church and for the believer. Well, they are the temple of the Holy Ghost, God promising to be present and to help his people. He says, you sanctify me, and I will be a refuge for you. I will be a present refuge. I will be your refuge now. Will it not be a blessed sanctuary? Doesn't this word speak of God's protection? Is the Lord of hosts with you? Well, what need you fear? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil rages against you, perhaps you're conscious of his attacks. Remember, God is present by his Spirit within you. You sanctify the Lord. He is greater than the devil, resistant therefore in the field. You see, there's no need to fear. When he promises that he will protect you, that he will keep you ultimately from harm, that all things will work together for your good, that he will overrule to bless you. A blessed sanctuary. And so you'll know God's peace. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm not going to let it get to me. I'm not going to be afraid. Because I fear God. Then are you anxious today? Cast your burden upon the Lord. Be careful for nothing. But by everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the way to peace. And you can have peace in the midst of the trials and the troubles of life. They might not go away, but you can know God's in control. He's bringing this for my good.
He's teaching me through these things. And I look to Him for all needed help to get through it, to help me bear the burden. He will sustain me. And I know that He will take it away in His own good time. Whatever that might be, it might be in this life. It might be only when I enter into glory. But He's the Lord of hosts. And He's my God and covenant. And therefore, I can trust Him to bless me. And to give, I can have peace, whatever the circumstances of life. He will be for a sanctuary. It speaks of His presence. You see, as we sanctify, shall we not enjoy fellowship with Him? There you are. And you're on your own in the middle of the night. Maybe some are on their own, perhaps in prison for their faith. But they're not alone, because the Lord is with them. He's a present helper in a day of trouble. And you've got one you can turn to. One whose fellowship you can enjoy. One whose love can fill your soul as you think of what He has done for you in Christ. As you draw near to God and He draws near to you, you'll know His strengthening, His upholding. But be a going as you focus on Him. But of course, this sanctuary is a holy sanctuary. The word sanctify, the word sanctuary, they come from the same root. It's the same basic word. In other words, there's a reminder here that you will not enjoy God as your sanctuary unless you are sanctifying Him and treating Him as holy and walking in the ways of holiness, that it's only as you fear Him. You see, the angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those about that do Him fear, and then deliver. Do you love God's law? Do you love God's way? Are you walking in the ways of holiness? You won't enjoy Him as your sanctuary if you disregard what He says in His law. But as you pursue holiness, which really is the right response to fearing God, then you shall know Him as your sanctuary. And here's this warning. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, a gin, a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Why would He be that and not a sanctuary? Because there were those who would not sanctify Him. Here He is, that consuming fire to His enemies. That consuming fire to those who will disregard Him and will not sanctify Him in their hearts. Friend, as you and I sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, then He will be a sanctuary unto us. Well, dear believer, is this not your daily need? To sanctify the Lord of hosts. At the beginning of each day, as you and I get through each day, to remember who He is, to set Him apart in our hearts, to apply views of God, and ever when the troubles come, we take them to Him. We don't fear them because we fear God. And that will be the way to daily peace as you trust in Him. God, keep us from that worldly response that we so often have. The problem comes and we panic
because we forget who God is.
You're one of the Lord's, and yet you've drifted and you've grown cold. Well, you need to return to Him. You'll find that fears and problems will continue so long as you go on the way you are. Beware of the danger of losing sight of the one who you know to be God, and yet in reality you fail to respond to Him as God. Return to Him now. Set Him apart in your heart. The one who forgives returning sinners. If you're here this morning without Christ, your danger is that you've got low views of God. You don't really believe and receive the testimony that He gives. You're a bit like me, has. He'll give a sort of acknowledgement of God, but you don't really trust Him. You're distrusting Him more than you trust Him. That's obvious because of their activity. Problems come, fears come. You fail to sanctify Him. Then beware of that. It is just as Judah was going to find itself overwhelmed because of their unbelief. Just as Ahaz was going to be overwhelmed because of his lack of fear of God, so you shall be overwhelmed one day. If you want in that way, begin with to sanctify the Lord. Fear Him. That's the right response to Him. But it's also the blessed response. Because He says, sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. And He shall be for a sanctuary. Don't you need that? We all need that. That's what He promises to those who respond appropriately to Him. Let us pray.